For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Christ, that's Jesus Christ, whom we love and serve. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. This morning I want us to look at this particular topic, Christ and the law. I realize from my own experiences, one of the great stumbling blocks as we study the Word of God is to confuse the law. That is the law of Moses, the law that's in the Old Testament, to confuse it with a plan of salvation. That's probably the most critical mistake, the most fatal mistake that anyone can make. And that is to believe that we're made righteous in God's sight because we keep a certain number of laws. Now, people have diversified that idea some from the Jews when the Jews said, if you keep the law, then you're righteous in the sight of God. And they looked at themselves and made excuses for themselves for this and excused themselves for that, but finally said, I must be righteous because I do keep the law. Today we look at society with all of its varied problems, and we think about the golden key, do unto others, and people say that's sort of the way I live, and I know that's made me righteous in the sight of God. There's the scripture, judge not lest you be judged. I sort of look at that preacher as the standard of my life, and I practice that, and I assume that makes me righteous in the sight of God. And all of these are tragic assumptions. They're wrong. They're not based in the Word of God at all. Israel made the mistake nationally by believing that the law that God gave them through Moses was a plan of salvation. That is how they would be made righteous in the sight of God. And Paul tells us that the Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness. Now that word ignorant means not comprehending. They didn't comprehend why God gave them the law. They didn't possess righteousness with God. Israel as a nation did not possess righteousness with God. For he wrote, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, that is, they didn't comprehend the true meaning and purpose of the law, and so what did they do in their ignorance? Well, they did what men normally do. They went about, which means to search and to seek and to establish. They went about to establish their own righteousness. That's what Israel did. They didn't comprehend what the law was for. They didn't know its purpose. They confused it. They looked on it as a plan of salvation. And they said, now, since they didn't comprehend it, then they misused it and went about to set up a particular plan that would make them righteous in the sight of God. And it didn't work. They didn't achieve righteousness with God. Why? Well, because if they had understood and comprehended the law that God gave them, it would have led them to submission. It would have led them to a point where they said, I can't do this, God. I'm failing every way I turn. I cannot keep all of these laws. I fail every day in keeping these rigid regulations. And in humility and faith and in repentance, they would have yielded and submitted themselves to God and would have expected and cried out for God's mercy. And in this attitude of submission, God would have declared them righteous because they would have sought it by faith and not by law. See? Now, when you read the Bible about for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and perhaps you've read the Old Testament and you've read the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. Then you read what Jesus said about lust, anger, fornication, abuse, misuse. You say, I'm in a lot of trouble. I've read these principles and these concepts and precepts and laws, and I can't live that kind of life. I'm too weak. I've already broken them. I'm a sinner. When you feel that way, then submit. Give up. That word literally means to surrender. It has in it the idea, more than anything, of cease to fight. Literally yielding and giving up. To give way under. When you see, I can't do it. I can't do it with God's help. I can't keep the law of God with God's help. I can't keep it with my wife's help. I can't keep it with my husband's help. I can't keep it with my parents' help. If every human in the world set about to help me, I still couldn't live up to a law righteousness. It's just impossible. I can't achieve it. So God, I submit myself to you. I yield myself to you, and I trust Christ, who is your righteousness and extended to me. When you do that, then God will make you righteous. And that's where Israel stood. Now, Paul writes in the scripture that I read, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. The word end means the fulfillment or the completion of anything, the end, the goal, achieving the goal. I remember in the fall of 1950, I lived in North Central Arkansas. The address I had was just Strawberry, Arkansas. That's the post office that served the gravel road where I live. But I left there, and my brother had sent me an address, and it said 870 East 37th Street, Hialeah, Florida. And I had a suitcase, a little bit of money that I'd earned picking cotton. I went to Hoxie, Arkansas, and got on a train, and it went through Memphis and Atlanta and then down the seaboard, East Coast to Florida. Then I got a taxi. I gave him that address. You know, that's where I was going, 870 East 37th Street, Hialeah, Florida. Didn't have a zip code. That's back before Noah even built an ark. But you know, it was strange to me. I got out of that taxi, and there was my brother, and there was that house at 870. That really intrigued me. But you know what had happened? I had fulfilled my journey. What do I mean? Well, I mean that the trains and the taxis and hours of riding had finally culminated in what? Well, the end of my trip. The end of my trip. I had come to where I had wanted to come. I had arrived at where I wanted to arrive. I had followed the instructions, and they brought me to where I wanted to go. And the law is, or rather, Christ is the end of the law. The law was supposed to bring you to Christ. That was its purpose. And when you got to Christ, then that was the end of the law. Okay? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That is the sum total of all that God commands and approves and expects out of a man. When you get to Christ, Christ is everything you need to be right with God. And the law would bring a Jew to Christ. And the preaching of the gospel today brings us to Christ. And Christ is the end then of the law. It's the end of our lostness. It's the end of our alienation from God when we get to Christ. So the scriptures, where do they lead us today? If they led you to a church, you stopped short. You got off in Atlanta. You're not there anywhere you ought to be. If the scriptures brought you to a baptismal service, you stopped short. You didn't get to where you needed to get. If the Holy Spirit convicted you and you went to church and you partook of the Lord's Supper, you didn't get where you were supposed to go. You stopped short. Because the law will bring the Jew to Christ. And the Holy Spirit will bring people to Christ. And the preaching of the gospel will bring people to Christ. And that ought to be the end result of our witnessing and our work. Not simply to get people to church. Not simply to get people to fill a building. But ultimately to get them to Christ. That's where all things must end. For righteousness' sake. To whom? To everyone that believes. In other words, when you get to Christ, in order to have God extend to you righteousness, what do? You believe. See? The law brought the Jew to Christ, face to face with Christ, and then the Jew said, I believe, and Christ gave them right standing with God. When the gospel is preached, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it brings you to Christ. And when you get to that point of hearing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, what do? Then you believe and you become righteous in the sight of God. For in some ways, Christ is the end. In some things, He's the beginning. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. For the law, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. That means to rely upon, to trust, to have confidence in. Now, what do we mean when we talk about the law? Well, in order to understand and comprehend and get our minds together, let me brief you this morning about the law. The law was given to Israel only. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between Him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Deuteronomy 26:46. Now in Psalm 78:5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Now He did not give what we call the law as it's recorded in the Old Testament in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, in those books of the Bible. He did not give them to other nations. He specifically states that. In Psalm 147:19-20. Deuteronomy 4:8. He states, I gave them to no other nation. What does that mean? means that God chose a nation of people, and God gave to them the law. And all other people were not under that law. They were not subject to that law. So Paul now, in his writings to the church at Rome, realizes that in the congregation, there are Jews that have been saved, there are Gentiles that have been saved, and they're in the same congregation, and the Jews are having problems deciding what to do about the law. What do I do now that I have believed in Christ by faith? What about the Sabbath? What about the ceremonies? What about the animal sacrifices? What do we do now? Where are we? And that's what Paul explains. For Christ is the end of the law. But he's not the end of the law for me. I was never under the law. Christ is the end of the law for the Jew. Now, law cannot produce righteousness. Paul said in Galatians 3:21, the conclusion of it is this: if there had been a law which could have given righteousness, verily righteousness should have been by the law. He asked the question, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. You see, law has no life in it whatsoever. Law is inanimate. When it comes to life, law takes life. It never gives life. We can pass a law in the state of Arkansas to take a life of a criminal who does a certain thing, but if that person is dead, we can't pass a law that will give them life. And when our state legislature meets, or when our Congress is in session, they can't pass any laws that will bring dead people to life. But they can pass laws that, if those laws are followed, will bring about death. The law of Moses could not give life. It could only bring death to those who violated what it said. Law can take life. The Ten Commandments did. Every one of the Ten Commandments ended with death. Now, when Christ came, Christ fulfilled the law. Matthew 5:17. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now, what did he mean by that statement? Well, the word destroy is a word that's used to dismantle a building. Now, I don't mean to just strike it and knock it to the ground. I mean to just start taking it apart, board by board and piece by piece, until you have dismantled it. So Christ is saying, I did not come to dismantle the law and take it apart piece by piece and set it aside. I didn't come to do that. And he didn't do that. He said, I have come to fulfill it. And in this sense, it means to perform fully, to complete, to accomplish. Christ did not come to dismantle the law piece by piece before it had been made complete, or all the things it taught had been accomplished. And that's why Jesus includes the word prophets here. He didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. That means what the prophets taught. Now, here's sort of a statement that doesn't make sense. Since Christ said he didn't come to destroy the law but to fulfill it, when Christ came, born of a virgin, lived under the law, never broke one jot or tittle of the law, he then
abolished the law. See, he fulfilled the law. He lived up to every precept of the law, every tiny concept of the law, never broke one iota of the law, did all the things the prophet said he would do, taught everything they said he would teach, and did every good deed they said he would do by raising the dead, healing the sick. He did everything that was prophesied of him, predicted of him. He kept the moral law. He kept the ceremonial law. He was born where the prophet said he would be born. He went into Jerusalem at the time the prophet said he would go into Jerusalem. He kept it. He fulfilled it. Everything that it predicted and promised. And then he abolished it. Ephesians 2:11 addresses itself to the Jew and Gentile issue. And then in verse 15, Paul said, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of one man one new man, and so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, that is, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body, that's his body, by the cross, having slain or destroyed the enmity thereby. Now this word, abolish, means to render or make useless, to make unprofitable, to annul, to invalidate. Now what happened? Christ came and did everything the law and the prophets said he would do. He also lived according to the law, under the law, met every obligation that it laid upon him. He then invalidated it. He then set it aside and made it useless or non-applicable. It doesn't apply anymore. How did he do that? How did Jesus abolish the law? Colossians 2:14. Here's how he did it. Jesus came, fulfilled it. He then abolished it. But how did he abolish it? What was the act that abolished the law? Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, what? Nailing it to his cross. The words blotting out means to smear completely where you can't read the writing any longer, perhaps even to plaster over words that had been written. It was not an uncommon practice to write a great deal of information on the buildings that were built in the Greek and Roman period. Public buildings were identified, and oftentimes statements were made, carved in them. Whenever these cities were conquered and these public buildings fell under a different government, they plastered over them so that you couldn't read that any longer. And that's what this word blotting out means. Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, evidently the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, that was against us, that is the Jews, which was contrary to us, that is the Jews, and took it out of the way. Now this word took it means to lift it up and carry it off. Now you think a minute. It means to lift it up and carry it off. Christ blotted out, he smeared and plastered over and wiped out and obliterated the commandments to the Jews, such as the Ten Commandments, the ceremonial laws, every facet of the law. He then took it up. How did he take it up? He took it up on his cross. Okay? He picked up all that the law demanded, and when Jesus carried his cross out of Jerusalem, he carried on that cross the law. And then in himself, the Bible tells us that he nailed it to his cross. Okay? You see, they judged Jesus erroneously. He was not guilty, yet he lived under the law. So Jesus, whenever he was in Jerusalem, he had fulfilled it all right then, even to the city, the time, the place, and everything. When he picked up that cross, he picked up the law. And when he got to Golgotha, they nailed him to the cross, and they nailed the law to the cross. He took it out of the way, lifted it up, bore it away, and it was nailed to the cross. And Jesus took up the law on his cross and carried away to Golgotha, and there it was nailed to the cross. Now you say, we are redeemed then because Jesus kept the law. No, we are not redeemed because Jesus kept the law. That's not the redemptive act of Christ. Keeping the law was not the redemptive act of Christ. Christ had to keep the law in order to redeem us, because he could not redeem us were he also a transgressor. Jesus kept the law, but keeping the law did not redeem us. Keeping the law qualified Christ so he could redeem us. Now notice, Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did Christ redeem us from the curse of the law? How did he redeem the Jew from the curse of the law? Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Keeping the law did not redeem the Jew, and it did not redeem me. But keeping the law qualified Christ as a sinless person who then by dying could pay the price of redemption. The word redeemed comes from a word that means to purchase out, to buy up from the power or possession of anyone. And we were in the power and the possession of the evil one, and the redemptive work of Christ, because Christ had kept the law, allowed him to offer the perfect sacrifice for sin, which was himself, the sinless Son of God. The word curse means assigned to destruction with a curse. Christ did not redeem us. I want to emphasize this by keeping the law, but by dying as one condemned by that law. Though he never transgressed one jot or tittle of the law, and it was necessary that he keep the law, or he would die not as a redeemer, but as a transgressor. So for hundreds of years, Paul says the Jews were shut up under the law. That is, they were constantly being instructed by it. Why did God give Israel the law? What was the purpose of it? Paul explains it. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The word schoolmaster, we have a word in our language called pedagogue. It has to do with teaching and instructing. A pedagogue is one who teaches. Pedagogical has to do with instruction. And this pedagogue, that's translated schoolmaster here, was a slave or freedman to whose care the boys of a family were committed, who trained them up, instructed them at home, and accompanied them to the public schools. So the law wasn't a savior. It was not a plan of salvation. It was a schoolmaster. It performed the purpose of a pedagogue. It instructed and instructed and instructed. And the pedagogue took a boy and taught him a lesson at night, and then accompanied him to the public school and left him there to be instructed. Now, Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. What was the law of Moses supposed to do for every Jew that read it and lived in this constant immersion in ceremony and special days and priests? And what was that supposed to do? Well, if that Jewish person followed the teaching of the law of Moses and the things contained in it, it would bring them to Christ. Face to face with Christ, where they then could believe or not believe. It was like a road map. It was like an address. And that if you followed the road map and followed the instructions and looked at the letters and let them instruct you until finally there you would come to the place you were supposed to be. What was that place where you were supposed to be? Face to face with Jesus Christ. But Paul said they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They couldn't do what they wanted to do because Christ was not a savior to them. When the law led them to Christ, it was an offensive stone. When the law led them to Christ, they looked at Christ and they were offended. It was a scandal to them. They said, this is not where we wanted to be. This is not where the law should have brought us, to the foot of this man who had nothing to offer, a rather obscure Jew. This is where the law has led us, to the cross, to the foot of a Roman cross. A man dying, a man dead, a man buried, and you claim he was raised again. Hey, you mean the law of Moses that our fathers have kept and used as a system of worship and government for hundreds of years? You mean it ends here in Christ? It ends here in this man? It ends here on this crucified Jew? That's where it ends? No. No, surely it ends on David's throne. Surely it ends with kings and principalities and powers put under the foot of our deliverer, the Messiah. Not here, with blood dripping from a man condemned by the Roman government. Why, if he were really what God wanted him to be, he could just come down from the cross. He could save himself. Oh, he was saving us, not himself. Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. Shall I say to the Jew first, and also to the Greek? Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, our educator, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified or made righteous by faith. Now notice, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. It was a time when the boys grew up and became men. They didn't need that slave or servant to take them to school. They'd already graduated. Now they were out in the world doing what they ought to do. So they didn't need that schoolmaster to perform that task any longer. So Paul is saying to the Jews at Rome, quit worrying about the law. That all ended when you believed in Christ. Christ abolished it. He fulfilled it. He nailed it to his cross. It was our schoolmaster, our teacher. It brought us to Christ. But once we've been brought to Christ and believed in Christ, then we're mature sons. And we don't need this any longer. It's now completed and fulfilled. Well, we don't have the law today. We don't preach the Ten Commandments. As a plan of salvation or as an activator of guilt, what do we preach? Christ and Him what? Crucified. Christ and Him crucified. That's what we preach. The death, burial, and not just the death and burial, but the resurrection, the good news, the gospel. Now, when you hear the gospel, the good news, that leads you to Christ. You're looking at Christ. If you will submit now, believe in and trust God's plan, then God's righteousness will be extended to you. And by a judicial act of God Almighty, He'll declare you just and He'll declare you righteous. You say, but I'm just a sinner. Yeah, but you're a justified sinner. Now you've been made right with God, but you said, I'm not keeping any law. I know that. Christ kept it for the Jews and fulfilled the prophets for us. And now if you will submit in repentance and faith, sinner you are, weak as you are, disturbed as you are, incapable as you are, unrighteous as you are, when you submit to God in your unrighteous state, in your sinful state, then God judicially, because He is God, can say righteous, and you're righteous. He can say justified, and you're justified. You say, but preacher, I'll probably get up out of this building and go somewhere and today, surely something will go wrong. Yes, but you'll still be justified. Yes, and you'll still be righteous. I didn't say sinless. Didn't say without problems. I said righteous because God declared you to be righteous. Isn't God so merciful? Isn't that a marvelous plan? That God does what we need doing for us, not when we strive and wrestle and try and fight and argue with Him, but when we just give up, when we surrender.